Hello, this is Scooter, and thanks for joining me at Fish Toes. We're going to take this episode to talk about some various things. We've covered a lot already, and hopefully you're getting out there, you're getting fishing, catching some fish. That's always a fun part of it, and the whole reason we go, one of the reasons we go, but it's that perspective thing, keeping an eye out, just enjoying the day out fishing and so forth. So let's talk about tackle. So we've talked about, fishing rods, reels, line. We've talked about some real basic equipment, a net, some type of fishing pliers, keeping a knife on you, leaders, snap swivels, sinkers, things like that. And then we kind of have gone down the path of some particular lures and so forth. You can sort of start with, we've talked about different baits and stuff to get when you go out fishing. But there's a lot of other tackle that's involved in fishing. So I sort of wanted to round out the tackle that we're kind of talking about here. So with the fishing rod, reel and line setups, again, if you went out, purchased a combo and stuff like that, it's a great way to get started. And of course, if you kind of built one yourself piecemeal, sort of, bought a rod, bought a reel, bought some line separate, that'll give you a little bit of a idea on what you need to get. And as we move farther down this path and we want to get a little bit more advanced, I want to talk about a few different things on that, but we'll kind of cover those there. But again, you've got your rod, your reel, and your line set up currently. I do recommend on fishing line that you replace it at least every year. If you are fishing a lot, if you're going out twice a week, something like that, or when you go out, you're going out for pretty long days and stuff, a lot of time out in the sun, a lot of abuse on the line, basically it wears and tears just kind of like anything else. You may want to replace it more often. You may want to try new setups. So we'll kind of get into some of that stuff too, but I want to move more into the terminal tackle end and some stuff like that. So let's sort of talk some tackle boxes and tackle storage. Now, one nice thing about fishing is you can keep that stuff any which way you like. You just want to be careful. If you got a lot of stuff with hooks, some lures, and so forth, you want to keep it all safe, secure, that you don't have hooks lying around. I'm a dog person, and you start getting lures and they smell like fish, they become something that a dog is going to look at. A fish or a cat may go kind of check it out and stuff like that. So you want to be careful. Younger kids roaming around the house and you've got some tackle out, anything like that. So when you're transporting your tackle, I always recommend that you keep your hooks off. So in other words, if you're done at the end of the day, take the hook off the snap swivel if you've been bait fishing, and then hook the snap swivel back on. Now, most rods are going to have a little loop or a little piece of metal eye kind of looking thing just above where the reel sets. And that's what that's designed for. You can take and hook your lure on there, anything like that, and then snug up the line so everything sort of stays together. But I still recommend you take whatever has a hook on it off of that line, put it back in your tackle box, and then take your snap swivel and hook on there. Another option is if you've been tying your hooks and lines on, you can take the fishing line just by itself. Now, you could tie it onto an eye or something like that on the fishing rod, certainly fine. And of course, a simple knot is all you need here because you're going to be, taking that off to use it again. But on a spinning reel, which again is the most prevalent type of reel we've been kind of talking about working with and so forth, and it's one of the most common. On the side of the spool that's on that reel, you'll notice it's usually a little triangular shaped or maybe oval shaped, kind of a plastic cap looking piece somewhere along the edge of that spool. Now on that, What that's designed for is if you take and you hold the line to that, you can loop it around there. There's a real thin little edge to it, and you can hook the line underneath that. And that's what it's designed for, so that if you've got your spool there, you can actually hook the line around this little piece, and then it's snug. You can pull it in there kind of tight, and then that holds the line just on the spool. You don't need to have it going through the line or through the eyes of the rod, or you can. So if you've got a two-piece rod, for example, and you want to take that apart so you can fit it in the trunk of your car, cut whatever you have off the end of the line, like a snap swivel or something. Now, if the snap swivel will slide back down through the eyes, if the eyes on the rod are a little bit bigger, you can just slide it down until you get down to the last eye, which is usually on the base piece of the rod, not, you know, so you can still take it apart, and then loop that around and hook it on that little hook holder that's down near, again, on the side of the rod down near the spool or the reel. If you have to cut it off and then leave your line, go up through that first eye still, bring it back down and hook it around that little plastic piece on the side of that little line keeper on the side of the spool of the reel. If you have a bait caster, I'm not aware that they have any options on it. There's probably some out there that maybe do, but I've never seen ones like that actually have them. I'm sure they're probably available. So back to the tackle now. Or the tackle boxes or tackle storage. You'll see a million different kinds out there, and usually they're not real expensive. I have several different ones, and I have a tendency to sort of leave all my stuff because you'll get a lot of stuff over the years. And again, I don't bait fish a lot, but I do go bait fishing, especially when I'm taking the family out. And I want to be set up, so I actually keep kind of like a small tackle bag that I can throw some tackle boxes in. So when I refer to tackle boxes, I probably should call them. I'm not even sure what the terminology is, but you can buy plastic boxes, and they're going to be, you know, an inch to 2 inches thick, and they're usually made out of some form of clear plastic, and they have a lid that just snaps down, and you can get them in all different sizes. And when you open them up, it's just full of a bunch of compartments. A lot of times you can move dividers in those compartments around, so you can kind of organize your tackle. So a lot of tackle boxes, not the traditional type, I'm sure you've seen the kind, it's a box shape, it's got a lid that you open, and then the lid opens back, and then there's trays in there that kind of tilt and lift up and slide to the side, and then you can organize your tackle in there. And those are really great for beginners. They don't have a ton of storage, but they'll keep you organized. There's a bigger part in the bottom where you can throw bigger stuff, and then it's got a bunch of trays. Again, a lot of them are changeable. You can move some dividers around so you can lay different equipment and stuff in there. And when they're closed, even if you tip it upside down or something, mostly they won't move. Stuff still won't fall out of the trays and stuff. They kind of set real snug on top of each other. So these smaller tackle boxes, you can even buy them where they're loaded up with a lot of different gear. I will warn you that a lot of times the different tackle boxes that have the kits, if you will, where it's got a stringer in there and sinkers and some lures and stuff, is they're typically cheaper made products. They're not going to hold up as well, but they'll still get you started. So don't think like, oh, you know, you can afford that and that's what you want to get one. That's fine. Just remember that the quality is probably not quite there, you know, and there are some that are a little better quality and so forth. But so that's your tackle box. Now, the smaller tackle divider units that I'm talking about, the clear plastic ones that are, an inch to 2 inches thick or so, you know, if you get those, and a lot of times if you see what's called like a tackle bag, it's sort of just like a small duffel bag, if you will, and it's got a lot of different pouches and stuff on the outside, but the inside is designed to fit a bunch of these tackle holders in them, you know, maybe three or four or even five of them. And then you can, you know, organize each one by, you know, here's plastic baits, here's, you know, hard baits in one, top waters in another, spinner baits in, you know, and then one with terminal tackle, all your hooks and sinkers and different things like that. But you can buy those all separately, and then you can put those in any kind of bag you want. Throw two or three in a backpack, and I like this option. Like I have a tackle bag that holds four or five of those, you know, tackle holders in them. That, again, when I call them tackle holders, I'm referring to the clear plastic ones, inch to 2 inches thick or so. But then I bought extra ones of those that are the same size. So what I can do is I can keep all my tackle sort of sitting out, or at least my tackle holders sitting out, and I have them pretty well divided up into what's in what. And then that way I can say, okay, you know what, I'm going early morning, so I want some top water. I'm going somewhere where it's deeper, so I've got, you know, crankbaits and stuff that dive deeper. And you know, so I sort of have everything mixed up, and then I can pick out the ones I want and put in the tackle bag. If I know I'm going to go out bait fishing with the family and stuff like that, or maybe I just want to go bait fishing, I can throw, you know, bait holder hooks and different things down in the bottom of my pack, or just a regular, again, I have a small little, you know, Cabela's, it's like a mini duffel. I'm not even sure what they call it, but it's basically like a little gear bag, and I can throw stuff in there. And I made sure that gear bag fit all these, or will fit several of those tackle holders in it, so I can throw some extra line in the bottom if I want to. I can throw some bobbers and bait holder hooks in the bottom of that, and then I can just throw one or two of the tackle holders in there of stuff that I may want to use when I'm out, even though I'm not sure. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't always take everything I have when I go fishing. It's just kind of a pain in the butt if you're going to be walking around a good bit, and so forth. If you are going to be bait fishing and you're going to be walking around a lot, the backpacks are a great option, because you can put them on, hike back in somewhere. You know, if you do get ones that are designed more for fishing, they can work really well, because a lot of times they'll even have a little place on the side where you can strap your rod to it, and then you can walk through. You know, they might even have like a little water bottle holder on one side, so you can walk through with those. And then when you get where you're going, you can, you know, assemble your rod and get fishing, and still keep your pack on and wade through the water if you want to in the summertime. You know, a lot of times if I go to a river or somewhere and it's warm out, I'll wear like, you know, a pair of water shoes and shorts, and then I'll wade out into the river so I can hit spots I normally don't reach. It's kind of comfortable being out in the water for a little while in the summertime. It makes it pretty nice. So, you know, having a pack on, and, you know, I don't go real deep or anything like that, but, you know, I can wade out fairly far up to my knees, or, you know, a little bit deeper or whatever, and fish, you know, out in the river, and then walk around a little bit and, you know, kind of have a nice enjoyable day doing that. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. Now, there's a few of them that I want you to sort of look at. They make these really small plastic ones, and they're going to be like a hard plastic. They'll be just like the bigger ones, where, you know, it's just like a lid that you pop open, and there's a bunch of small compartments. Now, usually when you get to the real small ones, they don't have dividers in them, or they may. Now, one of my favorite ones, made by Plano, I'm not actually sure which way you pronounce that one, but made by Plano, that they're probably about an inch and a half thick, and they might be 3 inches by 4 inches, give or take, and it's got a little snap lid, but there's one on each side. One side's divided into three or four compartments that are a little bigger. The other side's divided into probably, you know, 8 or 10 compartments that are a lot smaller. And these things are, I don't know, they're $4 or $5. They're not very expensive, but they're really, really handy to put, you know, smaller hooks in there when you have some extra hooks. You can divide your sinkers up into weights in there. And on the other side, where you've got some bigger openings, you can throw a few small lures. When I say small, you're talking real small stuff, more things you're using for trout or panfish, not really anything you're using for bass. They're not very big openings. But this can hold a lot of your terminal tackle, keep it organized, and work really well. You can even put a few of the bigger, like worm hooks or the offset hooks and stuff we were talking about in the plastics. You can fit several of those in on the side that has the bigger dividers. Put a few of your sinkers and stuff, snap swivels, you know, stuff like that on the other side. And then you can carry, when you purchase your rubber baits and stuff like that, they're going to come in usually resealable packs, sort of like a Ziploc bag. They're a little more plasticky, but basically like that. So if you're going to fish those and you're going to fish bait, you can slide that that very small tackle box I'm talking about in your back pocket with your hooks and stuff in there. Or if you're wearing a pair of cargo shorts or cargo pants, it'll fit in one of the pockets. Slide a few of the rubber baits you want to use in another pocket. And then, you know, you'd have your bait if you're going to be doing some bait fishing, and maybe a few hooks, but you could slide them in a pocket, you know, and that's where stuff like fishing vests come in handy. You can put them, load them up in those. And so you can really get out there with minimal tackle and be able to walk around freely and not be carrying around a big heavy box with you and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different ways, but those small boxes, I really recommend you start with something like that, because they're really inexpensive, and they can store a ton of smaller stuff that just kind of keeps it easy and readily available. If you've got different sizes of snap shovels, different sizes of split shot sinkers, maybe a couple of egg sinkers, you can fit all that stuff in there and get out there and fish with very minimal tackle. So I can't sit there and say there's a be-all, end-all to these types of stuff. Again, I'm a big fan of the tackle bags. You can usually get 3, 4, even 5 of the bait or the lure holders in there inside the middle, and then you've got a lot of compartments around the outside that you can put in bug spray, bobbers if you're going to be bait fishing. Slide the packs of your leaders and stuff in there. And while we're talking about the leaders, if you're buying the packs of leaders, you know, one little trick with those is what I usually do is when I'm going to use them, I'll take my knife and I'll slice the very end of it down where the hooks are. And then you can just kind of reach in there, grab a hook, and pull the whole thing out. Now watch, because if that loop on the other end hooks over a hook, it's going to pull the next one out. But either way, you can keep that in there then, so you can just sort of keep them in there and pull them out as you need them. Now they also make these little, I'm not even sure what brand they are, but it's usually like a off-white plastic board. You know, kind of reminds you a little bit of a washboard. It's going to have some little hooks on springs. And when I say hooks, they're little plastic nubs that stick out on springs. And there's 8 of them on one side and 8 on the other side. And then down below it, farther down, there's a whole bunch of little triangular or oval-shaped slots. And what that's designed to do is you take the loop of your line and hook it over one of those springs. You slide it down, put the hook through the lowest hole that you can down below it, and then let go of the spring, and it keeps your leaders nice and taut, so they're nice and straight, and it organizes them. The hooks are buried down inside those holes, so it makes it safe to carry your hooks around, and it keeps them organized for you. And again, they're really inexpensive. So, you know, I've got 2 or 3 of those that I keep different size hooks on. And if I'm going to be out bait fishing, again, I'm only using leaders when I'm bait fishing, I grab those and throw them in that little pack of mine. And you know, now I've got all the hooks, several different sizes, and they're organized and so forth. If you notice that you can fold the packs of leaders in half and slide them in a back pocket. But then if you notice, that line is going to develop sort of a fold in it. Not really a big deal. As they get a little bit wet, they're going to kind of wear and tear and move around and stuff. So, you know, but again, it's one of those things. You kind of fish and do what you want to do. But if you start to notice some stuff like that, if you get one of those little bait hook holders, it'll keep your lines nice and straight. You'll also see ones that are cylinders. And I've actually never used these. I mean, I've seen how they operate and stuff like that. But they're round, but they work the same way. They've got a spring that's on there, and you can kind of pull it on there, wrap it around there several times, and then there's a little pad on there that you can put your hook into, and then and it tightens up, and it just keeps the lines on there that they're straight. Again, they'll develop a little bit of a curve to them, but very, very minimal, so not really a big deal. So it's in the stuff you like there. So, you know, we talked about, you know, having a few different types of bobbers, a few different, you know, some split shots of different weights in your snap swivels and stuff. Now, there are other multiple types of terminal tackle when we get into like the snap swivels and stuff. And I will develop that more, but just a few other key points on a couple of them. There's what's called a barrel swivel. Now, a barrel swivel is basically sort of like what the part of the snap swivel is, but it doesn't have the snap on it. So it's just a little bow tie sort of looking guy. It's basically, they're real small. Well, you can get them pretty big, but for the most part, they're smaller. And they're going to be a little barrel in there that has a piece of wire coming out of each end, and that wire's twisted up, and you've got just a loop on each end. But that barrel in the middle lets each end spin separately. And so what this is designed to do is you can tie that on the end of your line, and then you can tie a leader onto the end of your line rather than having a snap to hook on, and then you have your leader out there and you can tie your bait on there, you know, bait hook on there. You can tie, you know, a lure on there where you need, you know, if you've got a lure that spins, the whole thing spins, that's going to cause your line to twist up, and then you end up with some snags and stuff because as that line gets twisted and you keep reeling it in and you cast it out and you reel it in and it continues to spin, it's going to cause twists in that line that are going to cause you to, you know, as you start to cast out, all of a sudden that line starts to get kind of twisted up in knots and stuff like that. And so if that's what's happening and you don't want to use a snap swivel, you know, you're looking for a more finesse presentation, or you know, you're just not using a snap swivel, you can tie this on there, and then instead of it twisting up all your line, it's going to be able to twist and spin inside that little barrel swivel, so your line's not getting all twisted up. So those can be handy to have a few on you. I don't actually use them a whole lot. If I'm using something that I need that, a lot of times I put the snap swivel on, but I always keep some on hand because there are definitely times when I use them. You're also going to see another one that looks similar, except it actually has three loops on it. So it's almost triangular shaped. One is going to be barrel swivel. It's going to turn. Actually, all of them can turn. But it's going to have three eyes on it. So what that's designed to do is you could tie your line onto one. You could tie another leader onto one and put like a sinker on it, and then you can tie another leader off of another side with your hook on it, and this can sort of work like the drop shot works. It's very similar, slightly different action to it because you do have the ability that it can spin around and stuff, but there are definitely times when I'm using a bait that'll float but I want it on the bottom where I might use something like this, and you'll see what I'm talking about when you look at them. These, again, I don't use them often, but you can, and I primarily only use them for bait fish rigs, but you know, there are certain times you could use them for lure rigs. I don't particularly know of any that I would use right off the top of my head for a lure rig other than fishing like a plastic worm or something like that where it's, you know, sort of similar to bait fishing. So you have some stuff like that. You'll see different types. You'll see, you know, all kinds of hooks and different things like that. But if you're looking, you know, like let's say for instance, you know, you start fishing and you really like fishing rubber worms, you know, don't hesitate to jump online and just look it up and see some other tackle and stuff you may want to use there. So a few other things in the tackle end, though. That's kind of what I wanted to cover here. We talked about getting a net. We talked about getting some pliers. I almost always recommend, especially if you're using like the hemostats or forceps, which are the real small, well, you can get them in longer ones, but you know, I get some smaller ones and they're the real thin kind of wiry pliers and stuff like that. They lock at the bottom. Those are really, really work well. And they're inexpensive. They're usually $5 or $6 a pair for just a little simple set of stainless steel ones. And I recommend you always keep a backup. Because it's not hard to lose those. You know, you take a fish off the hook and, you know, you set them down real quick so you can get the fish back in the water. Next thing you know, you forgot them, or, you know, they happen to break or they fall off or something, you know, and you drop them in the water. And then, you know, if you don't have a set of pliers, your day can be over. You know, because you can't, it's really hard to get the hooks out of fish's mouths without some kind of pliers. So I usually, you know, always keep a spare set of those that I can use. I've given a lot of them away over the years just so that, you know, I see somebody who's struggling or whatever and I'll show them how to use a pair of those and he's like, here, just take them or whatever. I don't recommend giving away all your tackle and stuff like that, but, you know, sometimes you do. So, you know, again, I always recommend keeping just a spare set of those in there because that's something you need. A pair of fingernail clippers Can work really good. You can use them, you know, you open them up just like you're going to clip your nail, but you can clip the line. It makes it really easy because you don't have to hold one end of the line to cut it with a knife. Or a pair of pliers that have a pair of cutters down in the base of the pliers works really well for cutting some lines. You'll notice braid line does not cut very easy with these. They actually make some specific cutters for braid, but you can use a knife to cut braid easy enough, or a really small pair of scissors, something like that. So this is just kind of some stuff to sort of round out your tackle. And again, if you go out and you get yourself a few plastics, you'll notice plastics come in the Ziploc bag type of thing I told you about earlier. And a lot of times I recommend you keep them in there because the plastics a lot of times either come in like some sort of scented thing. And if you just take them out of there and throw them in your tackle box, they're going to lose that scent over time. They're going to dry out over time and break easier. A lot of times I just keep them thrown in the bottom of the tackle box or thrown in one of the outside pouches, of like a fabric type tackle box. You can also buy what are called bait binders. And what these are, they remind you of the old like trapper keepers, or at least the ones that zippered up around the edges. And when you open them up, there's pages in there that are on a little binder, but those pages are actually Ziploc bags. And so you can just take your whole pouch of the worms or whatever and throw them in there, or you can take them out of there and put them right into the zipper, into that Ziploc bag. But now they're staying fresh. They're staying with the scent on them. The only thing that's nice about keeping them in their pouches is you can read what they are, what brand they were, what the color name is, and so forth. So that when you're finding stuff that's working or whatever it is, you know, you can purchase that again. You can even just cut off the face of it. A lot of times I'll do that of the plastic bag where it's listed on there. And, or I'll even write in like a Sharpie or something like that on the side of the pouch what I use in there, because I have a tendency to use the same stuff over and over again. So if I'm using, you know, Zoom, 5-inch Super Flukes in pearl white or white, I just write that on the side of there. And when I get low, I need to go out and buy another pack or two and dump them in there and, you know, keep going. And you can fish quite a few plastics in here, but again, that's another piece of equipment or another container that you're now carrying with you. So I usually keep my tackle box, while it holds like five binders or five of the bait of the tackle holders in there, I might only fill up or take three of them, and then I've got an extra 3 or 4 inch space in there. I can slide my binder down in there. I made sure to purchase a binder that fits in there, so now I can keep everything in that tackle bag. Again, it works pretty well. It's just sort of some things I do to keep organized. One thing I've always wanted to do, and I haven't actually done it yet, was get like a pegboard or something in my basement where I keep all my tackle, hanging on the wall. And I had a small setup like this once, which is sort of what led me into this, that I could hang all my lures and stuff up on it, and I can see them very easily, and then sort of keep my tackle box empty, other than the basic terminal tackle I want to use, the snap swivels and swivels and everything else can already be in there. But then I can go through and say, okay, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? And what's, you know, what am I fishing in? And what am I fishing for? And so forth. And then go through and pick out everything I want, load it into some of my, the small tackle, box pieces, and load them up in there and then put them in my tackle bag and go fishing. And then that way I'm sort of seeing everything visually in front of me, as I load up in the morning or the night before or whatever like that. I am kind of a gear nut. I love to sort of get in there every once in a while. I just sort of get everything out, clean everything up, and so forth. And you do want to keep your tackle and stuff clean. That's a big thing. I do want to go over lure maintenance or rod and reel maintenance and stuff. But while we're talking about the tackle, you know, if you're out and, you know, you're getting a lot of weeds and stuff, and then you're taking stuff off and, you know, you get back and you notice you got weeds stuck all over, well, that stuff's going to dry up. The hooks and stuff are supposed to be rust resistant, but they still will rust up a little bit. So you want to make sure everything's fairly dry. I'm not saying you take something and try and dry everything off, but if you're out and it gets rainy, you know, when you get home, just leave your tackle box open a little while somewhere where it can dry out. And then, once it's dry, then, you know, pack it up and put it away. If you keep it in somewhere like a basement that's always damp, it's going to cause your lures to break down over time. You can replace hooks and stuff like that. But again, if you just let it sort of air out, dry out, and store it somewhere where it's dry enough, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Lures will last a very long time. Heck, I've got lures and stuff that were my grandfather's. He's been gone for 30 years, 30 plus years, and they're still in good shape because, you know, I just make sure they're not stored somewhere where it's damp. I make sure they're in good shape. Now, a few of them, I've replaced the hooks on them. Most of them are designed that you can replace the hooks easy enough, and they make particular types of hooks. Sometimes you've got to cut the hooks off, but then there's new ones you can put on there and kind of fold them around an eye or something like that, take a little bit of wire and kind of clean them up and stuff and put them on there. But, you don't want to deal with rusty hooks and stuff like that. If you're getting hooks that are rusty, you want to get rid of them. That's how, if you stick yourself with one of those, you can end up with tetanus or something like that. So it's just not fun to deal with rusty hooks and stuff. So you do want to sort of make sure you're taking care of that. But again, keep your stuff clean. Keep it fairly organized. If you're out fishing a lot, you'll find that's a pain in the butt keeping it organized all the time. But as long as you know where everything is, you're all right. Nothing's worse than getting out there. As far as clothing and that kind of stuff goes when you go out fishing, it's nothing you need to worry about. You'll see all kinds of cool fishing shirts and stuff, and they can be nice to have. I mean, a lot of them are designed specifically for fishing, so, they're vented. So you could wear long sleeves even when it's hot out. They're vented, they let the air through, but they keep the sun off your arms. A collar around your neck will help keep the sun off the back of your neck and stuff like that. You'll see a lot of, like, the Huck equipment and stuff like that, or fishing paraphernalia that... or shirts that, they're thin, they're nice and breathable, but they provide great UV protection. You'll see gloves, and you think, what do you need gloves for? The gloves are simply designed to keep the sun off the back of your hand, so that when you're out there fishing and they're cool, and they are padded on the bottom, that if you are fishing pretty aggressively all day, it's not different than a lot of things. I mean, you can end up with some blisters and stuff. I've spent some pretty hard days fishing out there, and, so they kind of help protect your fingers a little bit, the pads of your hands a little bit and stuff like that, but they're more designed for keeping the sun off the back of your hands, because when you're near the water, you've got the light, from up above, you've got light getting reflected back off the water, so you're kind of getting hit from all angles. Pants, again, a pair of jeans, stuff like that are just fine, but they make a lot of different kinds of pants that are really thin, so they breathe easy, and you stay cool, but again, it keeps the sun off you. Keep some sunscreen with you. Bug spray is another good one to take with you. Shoes typically don't matter a whole lot, but again, if you're going to be down where it's a little muddy, you want some boots that are maybe a little bit waterproof. If you're going to be on a boat, just some boat shoes or just some thin sneakers are just fine. If you're going to be out walking along the bank and it's been dry, a pair of sneakers, anything like that are just great. Of course, they make hip waders and stuff. We'll get into that kind of stuff later. A hat, just a ball cap is great. If I'm going to be out fishing, though, I have a fishing hat that I use. And you may think, like, why do you wear a fishing hat? Well, number one, it's usually fairly wide brim, so it helps keep the sun off your ears and your neck and your face. You will get some reflected water or reflected light off the water, so sunscreen's still a good idea, but this will help cut that down quite a bit. The other really nice feature about the fishing hats that are kind of wide brimmed are, is if you're out fishing with other people, or you're still new to fishing, or even if you're not new to fishing, if you make a mistake and you go to cast and you get a lure, you pop a lure off a snag and it's nearby and it shoots back at you, it can catch an ear or whatever. If you're casting and you let go too early and the lure is now flying from behind your head, or you got a buddy on the boat who has a little mental lapse and lets a hook kind of fly from behind you, they can catch an ear or something like that, or the side of your face or something, and that's never fun. But these the wide brim hats will help protect you from that. There's a good chance that they'll end up just hitting your hat instead of you, and you do that one time and that hat's just paid for itself 100 times over. Again, the fishing hats and stuff have multiple reasons why they're good to use, something like that. you know, and that's probably it as far as clothing, except for the last piece, which is pretty important depending on how and what you're fishing for, and that's a set of good polarized sunglasses. Now, if you're like me, I have a tendency to always drop my sunglasses and stuff, so I don't like to have real expensive glasses when I go out fishing, but polarized when it comes down to it, you get what you pay for. The better the sunglasses, usually the better polarization is. Now, the polarization will let you see through the glare on the water, and you'll be amazed if you've got a decent pair of polarized glasses how much more you can see into the water than you can without them. But either way, just wear and tear on your eyes, a pair of sunglasses is pretty important tackle to have with you. The polarized will let you see into the water better. Now, if it's muddy water, it doesn't help you there. They do make different colored lenses that let you see in the different colored water, or if it's bright versus cloudy. I don't know all the ins and outs of those, but you'll see like red lenses, green lenses, yellow lenses, blue lenses, and so forth, and they're all designed to do different things. You'd have to read the package on those. I've never really got into those ones too much, but I do have a pair of good polarized glasses. I have a pair of glass holders. You know, they got like little fish on the ends of them, the little rubber ends that go over the back ends of the glasses, and so I can let them hang around my neck. And I do that because I lose them all the time, and so I don't want to lose them, because I stick them up on top of my hat for a few minutes, and then it's hot out, so I move my hat around, and next thing I know, my glasses are laying on the ground behind me. So I get the ones when I'm fishing a good bit, and I put the holders on them so that I can let them hang around my neck instead. Keeps me from losing glasses quite so often. So again, I just wanted to go over some more of the sort of basic tackle and stuff. Some of it's a little more advanced. You don't need to go out and buy yourself a big old tackle box and load it up. A backpack and a few of the tackle box pieces, the individual lid ones, thrown in there, and then load up everything else there. Having something that holds a little water bottle or something on the side so you can take some drinks with you is great. I feel like that covers the tackle pretty good. You're going to see a lot of different things out there, but pick what works for you. Pick it because it looks cool, whatever you want. You can put a lot of money into tackle boxes and stuff, or very minimal. It's all in what you like and what you feel you need. Always go a little bit bigger than what you want when you're starting, because you're going to keep in mind you're always going to be adding lures and different things to it. So you don't want to buy something and then within a few months, getting out there fishing, you start getting a lot of stuff, you realize you don't have enough with you. And again, keep in mind what you're going for and what you're going after. It is nice to have some options when you get out there, but if you've been out a lot and you're starting to learn what works, you can really be selective on what you're taking out, because it is kind of a pain in the butt when you're out there and you're walking around a lot. You're going to lure fish from the bank and you're going to be moving around a ton. Nothing's worse than, you cast a bunch and then now you got to kind of pack everything back up. You've been switching lures and then, carry this big heavy tackle box with you, 100 yards down the bank, and then you put it down, and by the time half the day's over, you're just kind of worn out from carrying this thing around. So keep that in mind. You want to be able to think about, if you're going to be walking around a lot, how minimal can you get and take with you, but still have some options with you and stuff. So thanks for listening, and get out there, get some tight lines. If you're seeing some different tackle options, or if you know some little tricks, some things I've missed, and so forth, that you want to put out there, give me a shout. Let me know what's going on. You can reach me at scooterfishtoes@gmail.com, scooterfishtoes@gmail.com, or just shoot me a message here on whatever app you're listening through. And we'll talk to you soon. Tight lines and take care.